What's good, everybody? Live from the Good News Radio Station in Los Angeles. It's your favorite half of Touchdowns with Tangents, PD Camarillo here, live from the Good News Radio Station Sports Edition in Hawthorne, California. Usual spot for NFL takes, topical tangents. Shout out to the Good News Network. Shout out to the X Squad affiliates. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to all you listeners who fuck with us. Shout out to your favorite podcast app where you can also find this extraordinary audio experience. With that said, we got another interesting week this week. Last week, I called in remotely and Kenny was in the studio. This week, we switch it up. We just want to keep things consistent and also err on the side of caution in terms of this whole COVID-19 thing that's going on right now. And just practicing social distancing, thus the half remote show. So in a few minutes, you'll hear from a man who needs no introduction. My other half, the co-host, the co-founder, co-producer, co-everything of this show, Kenneth Frank James Berry, Lawndale's finest, will call in a few minutes. And we're going to get into all the NFL takes and free agency. With that said, we always like to start off the show with a round robin, a open forum, a what do you got to talk about situation. And today I just want to start off by shouting out KB. First of all, man, shout out to him for getting the episode done last week. I know for me it was an especially crazy episode when I walk into a liquor store in mid-episode and, you know, I see an old high school teammate knock somebody out, which was pretty funny, but... yeah, that just pretty much is a microcosm of last week's episode. Hopefully this week will be a little bit more on script, but either way, I just think it's funny because my boy KB texted me at 11:35. Are you online? Are you live yet, bro? Do you not know where this podcast is? Could you not check the app? You couldn't check the website? Come on, bro. Nah. But all jokes aside, I give Kenny shit every week for being late. This week I was on Kenny time, and part of that reason, of course, with this whole COVID-19, a lot of kids are not in school. So my brothers and sisters got an extended spring break. They wanted to spend it with me and my cousin at our place. We're roommates. So they pulled up. It's been a real interesting week playing dad, babysitter, whatever you want to call it. Just being a big brother, having them around all day, nonstop, 24/7 is both relieving and also exhausting. So I had to stop, get myself a tea on the way into the studio today. Part of the reason why I was late was also trying to troubleshoot a hard drive, which is not connecting for whatever reason. So if anybody has any tech wizards in their family or some knowledge on how to make a My Passport external hard drive connect to a computer and or Xbox One, hit my DMs at PDC on Instagram or at PCertified on Twitter. But yeah, man, so it's been a real interesting week in my neck of the woods. You know, in addition to basically working full remote, and also being around them, I've also been doing my writing thing for Clutch Points, you know, obviously being here, doing show prep, tweeting TDs_tangents, Instagramming TDs_tangents. We had a couple of polls from the past few weeks, which I'll break down a little bit later. But yeah, hold on, I'm still waiting for Kenny to call in. But yeah, man, so with that, the topic of the week, the big topic of today, of the week, the NFL draft is going to go on as scheduled. That's right, April 24th, I believe it is, the NFL draft will go on as scheduled. Of course, all the sort of public outreach events they were planning on doing, those have already been canceled, but... there were rumors over the past week or so that the NFL draft was going to be postponed. It was going to be a new 7-day format. It was going to be a new 3-day format. Like nobody knew what was going on with the draft because everybody else, all the other professional sports leagues, I mean, even MLB, which hadn't officially started yet, was just still an exhibition and preseason play, pushed their season back. But so far, the NFL is trying to fight the wave and try to keep things going as business as usual. Now, on one side, you have the people who are saying, well, we need more time. We can't have these guys flying for private workouts. You know, we can't meet with them. You know, we need more time. We need to push the draft back. On the other hand, there's people, and I saw this from Tony Kornheiser, one of my goats, shout out to him, who basically said they have 3 years of tape. Like, what do you need one more workout of them running around in shorts before the draft? Like, do you really need that? Is that something that's really going to be a deal breaker? And sometimes it can be. Sometimes people do earn themselves plenty of money during that one pro day. Shout out to Jamarcus Russell. But above all else, in a workout setting like that, the biggest thing that you want to do, you just want to verify what you already know. Like, you want to look into their medical records. You want to get to know them. You want to see if that's somebody that you can see yourself working with and being the face of your franchise. And you just want to see if there's any red flags in terms of agility, in terms of speed, anything that they might have or something that they don't have. That gives you all the more reason to go back to the tape. So essentially these pro days, these personal workouts, I should say, they don't matter a ton, but they do matter in terms of the fine tuning, the picking between splitting hairs. There you go. That's what I was looking for. Shout out to Kenny not being here because he knows I always mince my words. But yeah, man, the splitting hairs, bringing in two guys side by side, same position, you know, just really getting that firsthand view and getting to meet them and determining which one you're more willing to build around. So you had that side of it, which was like, yo, we need these workouts. Like, we need to push this whole thing back. We need more time. Like, we pulled our scouts off the road. Like, we need more time. Then the other side of it, like I said, were people saying, you already have all this tape. This process has already been going. You can do the whole meet and greet thing on Zoom or on a conference call or whatever the case, just like 90% of the world is doing right now. Like, you can figure it out, NFL. Like, you can do without the flights and without the in-person visits. Like, there's plenty of access to these athletes before this whole process came out, the combine, at the Senior Bowl, at the All-Star Games, throughout the college year. You don't need that one extra meeting. Like, that shouldn't be a deal breaker. That shouldn't be, oh, I can't go forward with the draft now because I didn't get to meet this dude in person. And I mean, frankly, teams like the Raiders never even drafted players that they met with under Reggie McKenzie, at least not in the first round. So, like I said, how important are these meetings really? More importantly, and I think this is a side that I really kind of fall in, life is so fucking weird right now. Like, driving out in Los Angeles and it takes you 5 minutes to get down the street. Like, I'm not used to that. Nobody's used to that. Like, you're driving around at 8 o'clock and it feels like 2 a.m. because there's no cars on the road. Like, what is that? So, for me, a draft nerd, or anybody else who's a football nerd, like, football being business as usual is like that one piece of our entire existence that could be somewhat normal. And so, I think that's kind of where the owners went in, is they said, you know what, like, our fans need this. Our teams need this if we want to act as though the new LA stadium is going to open on time, that everything is going to move forward as normal. We need to keep it going now because once we start moving things back, then everything else is going to get thrown off and there's going to be all sorts of uncertainty from our fans and from our teams and from our players. And that's not something that we need, considering we just settled the CBA disagreement. I don't know what you want to call it. The CBA negotiation just finally got settled. We have 10 years of labor peace. Like, let's keep that momentum going. Let's keep the draft going. Let's keep things as normal as we possibly can, because that's what our fans and our community really needs. And I'm with it. And they could have easily, and I don't know if you guys would have been down for this. I don't even know if I would have been down for it. But there was rumors of it, stretching out the draft a whole entire week, having one round every single day, which, you know, would have been cool. But like I said, you want to keep things normal. Like, and I'm glad that the NFL realized that, and that as much as they could have stretched that dollar and taken in those additional ad revenues and figured out a way to make it work, they decided, you know what? Let's just try to keep it as simple as possible. Now, some of the other solutions to the NFL draft that have been mentioned before, because it was happening in Vegas, it was initially planned to do all these kind of crazy, extravagant things, make a real skeptical out of it all across the strip, you know, have the players boat across the ship. But now they're looking more into to make it more of a video event. I know there was even talks about making it kind of a studio show. Somewhat in my head, I'm thinking kind of like the NBA draft lottery. I don't know. But just a real close-knit event. But the thing is, like, the COV, the COVID-19 epidemic, at first it was like, you know what, healthy people, you guys ain't got to worry. Like, you guys are chill. Like, it's mainly the old and the young. But notice how the people most at risk, they were saying were first 65 and, well, first they were saying people with the pre-existing condition. Then they were saying people 65 and over. And I heard today, 50 and over. And then I heard another stat, 18 to 40 have been one of the highest surging demographics, because those are the people that are still going out. So I don't know what to believe, but what I do know is that nobody is really immune to it yet. And the people that are immune to it, we don't know, and we don't know why. So everybody's erring on the side of caution, and the NFL should do the same. I know they've said, beyond just social distancing and keeping, you know, I think, what, 6 feet between each other or 6 inches between each other? I don't even know. But keeping a reasonable amount of distance from each other. They've also said don't congregate in groups more than 10, more than 5. Some stores and restaurants are only letting 5 people in. So this idea that the NFL, even in a premium, you know, close access sort of event of just these 32 teams, and, you know, the first rounders, even, you're talking about bringing together teams, you know, a handful of guys from each team, which is probably going to be a bunch of dudes over 50, along with a bunch of socialite athletes. And we're just going to pretend like the virus couldn't potentially spread and then essentially wipe out your whole rookie class. Like, I'm not saying that is what would happen, but why would you even put yourself in that situation? So that's why I think it should just be full digital. Like, I think, honestly, I mean, the whole green room thing is cool. Like, don't get me wrong. It's something that a lot of high school and collegiate players, myself included as a kid, you know, would dream about. Getting your name called, walking up that stage, shaking the commissioner's hand or hugging him now, since that's much more popular. Hugging him, doing whatever, taking your picture at the podium with your jersey. But as great as that experience is for that person, and as beautiful as a moment as it is for their family, like a graduation, a ceremony announcing an ascension, a promotion, an achievement, a lifetime achievement, something they've worked so hard for. Like, it's beautiful. It's awesome. It's why I watch the draft. Yes. But those moments still happen when a player is at home, surrounded by his family, or even just, you know, with one or two people, his wife or his kids, or, you know, just his mom and dad, and just going to a satellite interview. Like, the emotion is the same. Like, yeah, you want it to be all in one place and centralized and live in front of your studio audience and fans, but the reality is, like, you're still going to get good made for TV moments. Like, okay, you're not going to get Jordan Love sitting in the green room because you slid down the draft. But, dude, people have been tired of that anyways. We've been trying to move away from that with Lamar Jackson even falling and other guys who've fallen more recently. Like they're trying to move away from that because as much as people like to watch that emotion and that anxiety as that young man sits there waiting for his name to be called and his dream to be made when it already should have happened picks before or minutes before. As much as we all love that moment, I think we'll all be okay just 1 year without it. I think we'll all be okay just watching these prospects go live on their Instagram and announce their pick or whatever it is. You know, whatever the situation is, whatever they work out. I think there's no reason why the draft can't be a fully remote event and still be made for TV and still give people all the consistency that they're really looking for and all the happiness that they really need. So with that, NFL draft kind of sucks that we probably won't be there because we've really been planning it. And as you know, I'm a West Coast advocate, so Lord knows when the draft might come again to this Pacific time zone outside of Los Angeles. I think it's supposed to come in 2024, I believe, something like that. But, I mean, other than that, when is it going to come back? Other than those two times, because they have to, because they just made this billion-dollar investment in these two markets. Like, when is the draft going to come back? When are we going to be able to go again? Like, come on, we all know the NFL is not just going to give the Raiders another draft again. Why would they? When has the NFL ever done anything for the Raiders? So why would they start doing it all of a sudden? All right. The other news from the week, big news topic, wanted to talk about with Kenny. I don't know where he is, but Cam Newton officially let go from the Carolina Panthers. It's been rumored all offseason that dude was going to potentially get traded. Well, trading didn't work out, so now dude got cut. There was rumors about the Bears who tried to get him but ended up going with Nick Foles, and then the Chargers and the Pats and the Jaguars said they'd had no instant need to go out and get him, and to an extent it makes sense, but from what I've read and what I'm hearing is, one, Cam Newton's healthy, his shoulder and his foot have checked out. Two, dude is motivated. You saw what he's been posting on social media. He's motivated. He got a chip on his shoulder. He feels like the Panthers quit on him. And to an extent, they did. Because, and shout out to our guy Ray at FPC Raiders for pointing this out, but a lot of Raiders fans will sit around and say, hey, Derek Carr has never had any weapons. And then you look at Cam Newton, and you could say the same thing. I mean, outside of Christian McCaffrey, what has he really had? And yeah, he's put together one of the greatest seasons ever, taking the team to a Super Bowl, made that franchise relevant, and this is how they play him. Hello, caller. Give us your name and your location.
Kenneth Berry.
And turn your echo down, please, sir. Thank you.
Kenneth Berry, and I'm chilling in my abode.
What's good, Kenny? How you doing, man?
Super Bowl when the Patriots lost in there.
Yeah, and I'm not on that topic yet, but I'm gonna get to it. So right now, I'm talking about
just enjoying Patriot failure.
Right now, I'm talking about the topic that I know you wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah.
Your boy Cam. So get your shit off.
Other than the fact that, I mean, people kind of in the media, Stephen A. talked about it. He played the race card, so I didn't have to. In terms of Dak Prescott, everybody cut trash ass Dan Orlovsky, who literally did nothing in the NFL but be trash, has the audacity to tell Dak Prescott, who was a fourth round pick, to take less money. Everyone was, like, they just want to tell black QBs what they have to be, what they have to do, and that just, that's kind of a pain in the ass for me, because when I think of all these trash-ass backup quarterbacks, Chase Daniels has made more money than I'm pretty sure a lot of good black quarterbacks who have come into the league and washed out or even never really got a chance. I'm pretty sure he's made more money than a lot of them. And I'm pretty sure he's made more money in his career than Dak Prescott. But I don't hear anybody saying these white backup quarterbacks or these other white quarterbacks. Like, I don't hear anybody say Phil Rivers should take a pay cut. Now, to get back to the Cam thing, I don't hear anybody saying, oh, Tom Brady's going to be totally washed. He had somewhat of a down season, but he didn't have any receivers. He's 42 years old. The man's washed. He's at the end of his career. But all I hear is how, oh, Cam Newton's washed. He's done. He's trash. He's not good enough to play in Carolina when Kyle Allen was garbage. I mean, it's cool that Teddy Bridgewater got a new contract, but to sit up here and disrespect Cam, who got the Panthers to the Super Bowl with bum-ass, broken-down, injured Jonathan Stewart, with Ted Ginn Jr., who honestly I'm pretty sure has more drops than he does career touchdown catches.
Jonathan Stewart was not a bust then.
He was beat down and broken. He was beat down and broken at that point.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, bro, go back and look at the numbers. He was beat down and broken. That was his last good year. How about that?
There you go.
But Ted Ginn Jr.
He definitely was on his last legs.
Yes, those are his literal last legs. It's like in Madden when you have a running back a whole career and then his speed gets down from like goes from 87 to 83 and you got to cut him and move him to fullback because you just can't have somebody that slow running the ball for you. Yeah, it's that. And the fact that Kelvin Benjamin towards ACL wasn't even there. And this is like when he was turning into Queen Latifah slowly from Shut It Off. So, like, you factor that in, Greg Olsen was his best receiver and he had broken bones in his foot and all types of crazy shit. Then you factor in the offensive line was low-key trash at both tackle spots, if we're being honest. Then you factor in
it's been trash.
Ted Ginn Jr. was his best receiver. Could have had 1,000 yards, but he had, like, I think 10 touchdowns, but I'm sure he dropped about 15 touchdown catches. So, like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, Philly Brown, who got hit, knocked out, and killed in the Super Bowl. So he's pretty much down to Ted Ginn Jr., who can only run go routes. And I don't know who the hell else was there. Maybe Drew Carter. Yes, I'm pulling up old Panthers receivers. Go look up Drew Carter. He was nice in Madden for a little bit. Went to Ohio State. He was like 6'5 and a 4'3 40. Don't ask me how I know this information. I've played a lot of Madden in my life. But the fact that Cam Newton had to deal with that, the vanilla offense that Mike Shula had, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, almost 1,000
yards. Man, I forgot Ted Ginn Jr. was in Arizona.
Huh?
I forgot Ted Ginn Jr. was in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. He's been everywhere. Every state. He's dropped a pass in probably every state in this country. But the fact that Cam did all that, and as someone who broke his foot in high school and was never the same after that injury, like, I don't think y'all really understand what it means to break your foot. Some of y'all have had sprained ankles. Some of y'all maybe have torn a ligament. Some of y'all maybe rolled your ankle. I've rolled my ankle while I was in the cast. Painful times. Fell down some stairs too. But I'm telling you, when you break your foot, imagine if I just you just woke up one day and you just couldn't like move your leg a certain way. Like it didn't work. Like I'll switch it to your hand. Imagine if one day you just couldn't use your thumb anymore. If you literally couldn't form a fist, if you literally couldn't handle pressure in your hand because of a nerve injury in your foot and because you broke it. Now imagine that with your hand. Imagine your hand just stops working. And then people are telling you you're not working hard enough. They're telling you, oh, you know, you don't look like the same guy. Well, yeah, that's because my foot doesn't work. Ergo, it's the same thing happened with your hand. Oh, my hand just stopped working because there's nerve damage. People don't really understand how difficult it is to come back from a foot injury, let alone a foot injury with, like, really bad nerve damage. And Cam had that. And to sit up here and act like he can't throw from the pocket, when he's been trying to do that his whole career, he's had virtually no protection. I mean, he threw 35 touchdowns in a year going to the Super Bowl. And you can say he should have dove for the football when you know his teammates should have helped him better. Because the Panthers should have won that Super Bowl against the Broncos. But there was nobody else to throw to on offense. And he can't play running back and receiver and quarterback. So when people just shit on him and, like, he gets cut, like, personally, I think it would be great. I think there's about 3 or 4 teams he'd be a perfect fit in. But
I don't think anybody's really going to – I don't know. Like, I could see him being with the Patriots. I could see him being with the Jaguars. I could see him being with the Chargers. But realistically, I don't know if any 3 of those teams make a move because a lot of them are going to look towards the draft to get a quarterback. So it makes it hard because
– throwing Cam Newton away.
Because it – yeah, exactly. Because in my head
– They kept bum-ass Peyton Manning around for how many years?
Yeah, but Peyton was only a bum for like 2 years, really. Like that last two years. Nah.
Demaryius Thomas saved him.
Nah, that's definitely not true.
Demaryius Thomas made up for a lot.
Nah, that's definitely not true. Anyways, the point is, I don't think any of those teams will actually make the move, though. When I look at their rosters, when I look at their cap space, like, I don't see them. Anybody who's going to really actually make the move to bring in him or Jameis, really. And that's a shame because how is it that Andy Dalton is still in the league, but, you know, these two guys who both been number one picks, obviously, you know, one's been a regular season MVP and the other one's shown flashes. But the fact of the matter is, like how are these guys not going to be in the league? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But
as we move forward, season than Andy Dalton's ever had.
That's what I'm saying. But as we move forward, it just seems like less and less likely. Like, I don't know.
Quarterbacks don't get second chances in this league, and this is proof. Like, you don't get to see a black quarterback grow old in this league. RG3, we got lucky.
I don't even know if it's second chances. I don't know.
Why is Chase Daniels still playing football? Answer that question for me.
I don't know if it's that they don't get second chances. It's that.
Or third.
It's not even third. It's more of like that first chance itself comes with an asterisk. Like, it's like what we're talking about with Haskins or, you know, and it's like.
They ran Cam into the ground. Yeah,
it's like the opportunities they get come with a short leash, or they come to these bad programs, or they go to these places where they're not built around and put into a situation to where they can most likely succeed. And it's more of they're put in a situation where, like, the only reason why they succeed is because of them. Like, it's because they have to be extraordinary to succeed and to bring their whole team up. And in the case of Cam, even when they do that, even that's not enough. Or even when RG3 did it the first few years, it wasn't enough to get a team actually built around him and not have to look over his shoulder at a fourth round QB every other week. So
they did that the same year. The same year he got drafted.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't even think it's a second chance. I think even that first chance is just you're already looking over your shoulder. You're already you already have to be everything, and if you're not, then you're nothing. Versus, you know, these other guys, these Tannehills, these Daltons are in a situation where it's like, okay, this is what these guys can do, and we can put a system around them, and I can make it work. But when it comes to Cam and Jameis, it's just, oh, all that talent's not worth it. Oh, all that superstar attitude and winning and appeal and mental toughness and been playing the game at the highest level their entire lives is not enough for me. Like, I can make that work, but I can make this noodle arm work. I can give Alex Smith another shot, but I can't sign Cam Newton or Jameis Winston.
Better yet, I can re-up with Kirk Cousins for 2 years and then trade away the best receiver on the team. I mean, cool. The best receivers on the Minnesota Vikings are a white receiver. Benefited from having Stephon Diggs around.
I'm not really taking that.
I don't think Thielen was ever better than Diggs.
I've never been a fan of Thielen. You know this. One. But
yeah,
two.
But guess what? He's the number one guy now.
I don't think these things are correlated. Like, I don't think Cousins has anything to do with that. Because Cousins actually played well last year. He actually had, like, his best season.
Technically, as far as, like, aside from, like, Derek Carr. Yeah, he threw for almost 70% of his passes, but he played like shit. Like, that's what I'm saying. With these white quarterbacks, their stats are padded. Andy Dalton is technically, what, the franchise leader in passing yards for the Bengals? He's ass. Cam Newton is the greatest quarterback in Panthers history and arguably the greatest player. Sans Steve Smith Sr., which, by the way, the Panthers sure do know how to treat offensive skill players on the way out. I mean, Kuechly, he had to retire early. That don't count. But they sure do know how to treat players right on the end of it when they're the face of your franchise. When Steve Smith, nope, you cut him because he couldn't work with Cam. Well, Cam was a rookie, and Steve Smith, who admitted he was a hothead and didn't have the patience to work with Cam, but that could have been something. Cam puts his, you know, gives his body a lot, and then you finally get Christian McCaffrey. Oh, great white hope. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey is a bad man. But boom, he's the face of the franchise now. So it's like Nick Foles can keep getting contracts with all he has
and
is
starting jobs.
And can kind of give you one or two good games, but he ain't going to do shit if he has to, like when we went up against the Vikings, when he actually has to go out and play four quarters and beat you, he ain't doing it. He's doing exactly that in Arizona. But I'm just saying, Andy Dalton, again, why does Chase Daniels have a job in the NFL? Someone needs to justify his position in the league for me. But Cam, but then you say Cam can't be a backup. That's what they'll do. Like the whole thing they did with Kaepernick. Oh, he can't be a backup. He has all this talent, dominated the league, but he can't be a backup? That makes no sense.
I think the issue is
Jordan could be a role player. That's not saying Kobe couldn't take a different role towards the end of his career.
He couldn't have. He didn't want to. He kind of did. And once he couldn't play no more, he retired. That's why he didn't want to play anymore. He didn't want to take a different role. He's said it multiple times. He's not a 20-point guy. He's an all-world dominant player. And if he can't play to that level, then he doesn't want to play. But
okay,
to
Better
your
example,
point,
D-Wade.
to your point, I think it's not so much that people don't think that Cam can't be a backup. I think it's more of, they know he can be a backup and could potentially beat out their starting guy, and they don't want to have to deal with the quarterback controversy all year. Or even worse, they don't want to have to deal with everything that comes with the superstar that is Cam when he is redeemed and when he does come back. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can't even put this dude, even football-wise, You put him in a spot and it's like nobody still wants him to succeed. Like, it's just nobody wants him to succeed. And it's sad because it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us another half a decade of greatness, or it's going to cost us, you know, the progression that's coming from all this. Like, we've been talking about how strong black quarterbacks were last year with Deshaun and Russ and Pat and all these guys, and now here we are, Lamar, and now here we are talking about these guys, and it's like nothing really changed. Like, black quarterbacks still aren't put into situations where they can succeed.
And it feels like Cam is the martyr, because he was the one who broke the mold. Like, he surpassed what a Dante Culpepper, Donovan McNabb, and a Michael Vick did. Like, in a sense, as far as rushing, passing.
He put it all together.
Yeah, and if he actually had been given a better offensive line, some receivers, a better offensive coordinator, and actually say, you know, we're going to have you run less, Cam, and have you pass more, then yeah. But I think people got to be honest and act like Cam Newton was a starting running back for the Carolina Panthers for at least 8 years. Let's keep it a buck. For at least 8 years. Jonathan Stewart was washed at one point. They got rid of D'Angelo Williams. He could still play. I think they had Nick Goings at one point. Like, Mike Tolbert at one point. And let's be honest, like, they ran plays for Cam to run the ball when they should have been trying to make him a pocket passer. Or at least, okay, we're going to have you run more. We're going to have you pass more to set up you running. We're going to have you pass so much that right when teams think you're going to actually pass, boom, you take off run. You know, develop a quarterback. Like, you see what they did with Lamar Jackson. He's developed as a passer. And I think Cam is that last guy where you can't sit up here and say, he's like the bridge between the old guard of black quarterbacks and the new guard, to where Kyler Murray can point to Cam Newton and say, I'm going to have that kind of impact, but I'm a passer.
And that's the other thing that I want to point out. And
they're doing him dirty.
For all of hillbilly, flyover, MAGA NFL, it's like, oh, Cam Newton is a mean guy. Cam Newton has a prima donna. Cam Newton is an individual. Cam Newton is all about himself. He's not a leader. It's like, those are easy things to say, but you could easily say that about literally any starting quarterback in the NFL, let alone through college and high school. But you have a problem with it just because, one, he's black.
He's a black man.
Two, he's light-skinned. Three, he's bigger and faster and stronger than you. And four,
Cam's not light-skinned.
Whatever. And four,
no.
Four,
Cam's not one of them. He's one of us.
Okay. Anyways,
I'm joking.
That's a whole nother. Yeah, it's a whole nother issue. Nobody's laughing. Yeah, bro.
Some people are laughing.
No. You upset more people with your light skin jokes than you make laugh. Just letting you know that. Kind of problematic. Anyways.
With my light skin jokes? I mean, yeah.
Anyways, the point is, Cam Newton, like, even if he is all that, like, so what? One. Two, like, the man was a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Like, dude has given back so much to the community. Like, there was all sorts of videos of him, like, you know, hanging out with kids with special needs and donating. Like, Cam Newton's a philanthropist. He's a great dude. Like, we've talked about the different things he's done on our good news segment throughout the years. So for people to just be like, oh, Cam is this, Cam is that, it's like, one, you don't know him, and two, it's not true, and three, even if it's true, it really doesn't fucking matter. It's just a convenient excuse. That's all it is.
Because Tom Brady's an asshole. Tom Brady's an asshole on the field. Like T.O. said, Tom Brady gets to cuss everybody out and do all types of dickish things, and he gets away with it. I can point to, I'm pretty sure, some white players who act the same way as Cam does, but it's seen differently. No one says anything about J.J. Watt acting like Captain America, but his defense has stayed giving up fucking leads. J.J. Watt.
You say it a lot.
Pro player.
You say it a lot. Like you say, people like say that. That's the thing is, like, a lot of your takes are like, people don't say this, people don't say that. But I got a show with you every week, and you literally say some of those things like all the time. So in my head, it's like, bro, I hear that every week.
Yeah, you hear, but that it's like, people like J.J. Watt get the John Cena treatment, get the Captain America treatment. And people like even Robert Littell, like journalists have called him out like, yo, you mad quiet on certain issues, but then you Captain America everywhere else. And he's just outlandishly, like Gronk was a meathead. Nobody ever said that Gronk's a leader. So he's hardworking, he's a beast, he's an animal.
Well, but, like, I mean, he didn't need to be.
Cam don't get that same recognition. But Cam wasn't a meathead. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the media. You got to look at, like, the media has had it out, had a hard-on for Cam since college. Like, they vilified him and his father like they were criminals behind the old Heisman thing. Auburn didn't even have his back. And he got them, he won them a national title. Like, they didn't even back him and his father. So this dude has been getting scrutinized for everything. He got scrutinized for his pro.
Man, Kenny out here talking like he got one of them laptops.
Shut your ass up. Cam Newton was nice as a freshman in NCAA.
I could just
shut up. But no, like, you act like you wouldn't have got a laptop too if you went to Florida at that time. What, he had the laptop, Aaron Hernandez had the drugs, Percy Harvin had the pills probably. Like, come on. Let's be honest. No, Percy had the weed, Aaron had the drugs. The Pouncey brothers probably had muscle. Like, come on. That whole team. The way it was structured. Like, again, there really needs to be, like, a 30-for-30. Some type of documentary just on that Florida team in, like, a 4-year span. Like, fam. They were probably the closest thing to New Jack City in the flesh that we've ever seen. Like, some of them crashed and burned. Some of them are still around. Like, it's insane. That's Florida team. And the fact that Cam was there for a year. But anyway, like, the fact that Cam just has never been given the benefit of the doubt by the media, it's ridiculous. Like, all these whack-ass, corny-ass TV journalist heads, whatever you want to call them, was out there dabbing and doing all this other shit. But they didn't do it until they saw Cam do it, and then they wanted to be cool and try to do it. Like, a lot of these cats are squares in real life. Like, they got, first off, they couldn't go to probably some of the neighborhoods that some of these players grew up in and try to be like that. They wouldn't go there and try to act tough or cool, which is a side point for me, because, like I said, when Stuart Scott was, you know, saying booyah on the air, and then all of a sudden, like, all his other white co-hosts and anchors started copying his fucking vernacular, and all of a sudden, everybody on ESPN now is a hip-hop enthusiast, and I'm just like, I remember a time at ESPN where they really weren't allowing that, but that's a whole other story.
I mean, there's a lot more to that. There's a lot more to that, though, but I mean, part of it is also hip-hop's a lot more mainstream now. So I think that's also something.
Hip-hop's always been mainstream. It's always been mainstream.
It started as a counterculture. How can you say a counterculture started as something that's always mainstream? That makes no sense.
I'm not saying from birth it was a thing.
Homer meme.
Bro, in 1990, like, hip-hop has, ever since it's been created, at least among black people, it's just been an extension of who we are. And then the world took it and said, well, let's co-opt this. And then once it became mainstream, but to a lot of black people, a lot of people who were there from the start, they still see it as authentic culture. But I'm saying the media has a way of praising black quarterbacks, black athletes, for who they are, and then demonizing them 5 minutes later for that exact same thing. But nobody demonized Gronk for low-key kind of being on some Me Too type shit.
Yeah,
he was kind of out there humping female
that.
Reporters, saying 69, doing wild shit on video. I'm not making this up. Go look with him and Jemele Hill, the whole Gronk party bus tours, all that shit. Like, there's two different rules that we playing by, and Cam, honestly, probably, I hate to say it, probably won't make the Hall of Fame because of it. because of how the media portrays him and how every angle of a story about him is always negative. Even when he almost died in that car crash.
All right, man. So we've already talked about Cannes for like 40 minutes. Can we change the subject?
Yeah. We can definitely change the subject.
The other big QB move that happened this week officially was Tom Brady's officially with the Buccaneers. Buccaneers also re-upped Ndamukong Suh. What do you make of what they've done, and what are your expectations for them and Tom Brady, really?
Well, since NFC South is kind of a revolving door, and if Drew Brees
literally is
this time, I don't
think three of the last 4 years there's been different champion, something like that.
Exactly. So if you're really going to break it down, I don't trust the Falcons because they didn't give Julio Jones the ball enough in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm mad that Julio Jones doesn't even have 60 career receiving touchdowns. He has all this fucking receiving yardage. But, like, he has so few touchdowns. It angered me. Like, anyway. So you got the Bucs. You got the Panthers, who are in total rebuilding mode, so they don't count. The Saints, honestly, yeah, they got Emmanuel Sanders, but I don't really, if they can't run the ball and if Brees gets hurt again and if the refs decide to put on some more lube and fuck them even harder, it might be over for them. It's kind of wide open for the Buccaneers because they brought their whole defense back. And I think Sue was obviously a more important signing than Tom Brady because now you don't have to start over. You get Shaq Barrett, you keep Sue, you know, you got Devin White going in his second year now. They might even pick up another linebacker. I wouldn't be surprised. You bring back Jason Pierre-Paul. They got to fix their corner situation. But the defense is in pretty good shape. And then you just got to fix the offense at this point. Maybe they can get Jason Peters to play right tackle. You know, maybe they can somehow get Clay Matthews to come on, you know, on the cheap. But it's kind of right there. Like, the Bucks have everything you need. They just need to show up some stuff in the draft. And the Bucks could honestly shock everybody and win 12 games and get bounced in the second round. Or they could go 10-6 and somehow make it to the NFC title game.
Yeah, so some...
I think that's their ceiling.
Yeah, so some other moves that went down, you know, this past week. We saw more XFL players get signed. We've seen guys like Kenyon Drake officially sign their tags. We've seen, like, reserve players like EJ Gaines re-sign. You know, we've seen Trent Williams drop his press release that he still wants to get traded. You know, we've seen the Jaguars.
I love that energy, by the way.
The Jaguars say Darqueze Dennard is coming, and then all of a sudden he's not. So from this week's sort of transactions, you know, big and small, what did you like? What did you not like? You know, the Colts signed Xavier Rhodes. Steelers brought back Marcus Gilbert. There's just a lot of, you know, minor solid moves that went on this past week. You know, what are some that kind of jump out at you?
I think the moves that didn't happen are equally, honestly, as important. The fact that
I was a cop out.
There really
okay.
isn't a mark. No, it's not.
Yeah, that definitely was a cop out.
I'm telling you why it isn't. Because obviously it's more important. I mean, yeah, Cam got cut. But honestly, the fact that there's, like, no buzz for Jadeveon Clowney, like, that's a problem.
Well, like, three sacks and $20 million.
Like, he could be fucking his money up. Like, there's not a lot of production, and you got injury history, bro. Like, and you want to, and it, you seem like a great fit in Seattle, and they're not breaking the bank for you because they just broke the bank for Russ. So are you going to be a money chaser? Are you going to try to pull a Julius Peppers and get a bunch of money and then eventually go back to the team that you probably should have stayed with? I don't know he's young in his career. Like, it could be over quick. They get, like, it's not like it's Sue where it's like he's so good, no team's ever going to pay him long term because he's so good. You'd have to pay him so much a year. All right, give me $8 million. Give me $8 to $10 million because I'm top 10 in my position. Even at this stage of his career, he's top 10. So for a guy like him, when nothing's happening, it's a problem. I think, I don't know who he keeps firing as his agent. Somebody needs to get a hold of him and talk to him. Like, man, it's not a good look for you, bro. Like, there's linebackers in this class with 4.3 speed who can replace you. Like, you what? Need to chill. You don't even get a lot of sacks. Like, they managed to get Shaquille Barrett like 19 and a half. Clowney, they never had close to 19 and a half sacks in a season. And Barrett was a late round pick. Like,
so one move that one. Go ahead, finish.
But I think like that's that move and the fact that I think Dak Prescott he's about to break the bank.
Yeah,
like, I think when I look at free agency, I look at two guys whose careers could be going in two totally different directions. It's Jadeveon Clowney and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's number is going to go up.
And I agree with that.
And if the Chiefs shock everybody and say, we signed Mahomes to like a $45 million deal, now you got to give Dak like 38. Because Tannehill, you can't justify giving Tannehill that much money. So you have to have him much further ahead. Like, okay, Russ, it's Russ's turn. Now it's Dak's turn. Because Russ was a third-round pick. You look at Dak, fourth-round pick.
One move that I really liked, I liked the Eagles getting Nickell Robey-Coleman. I think, you know, they already got Slay, who's essentially a lockdown corner, and you add someone like Roby, who's a takeaway machine in the slot. They have the makings of a secondary that can redeem itself. They're also rumored to, you know, trade Jeffries. Hopefully he can get Wentz, another actual legit receiver. Because
Wentz has to stay healthy first.
I'm just glad.
Wentz can't stay healthy.
Yeah, he has to stay healthy, of course, but
Wentz has
he needs some receivers too, man.
Yeah, but that's what the draft is for. I'll be looking towards the draft. You can't keep getting all these retreads because they're clearly not working.
Shout out to Nelson Aguilar, who's now a Raider. Disgusting. Anyways, but yeah, I also thought the XFL move was...
I'm never been more mad about a USC player getting an NFL game.
But yeah, man,
that's not a lot.
I know. Where's Marquise Lee at? Is he even still in the league?
He's still with the Jags. He's no man alone.
He's like a six receiver.
Nah, he's a leading receiver.
But yeah, no, like, I also liked the XFL crossover, just seeing that now in the second wave of free agency, like, I think it really kind of legitimized that league even more, just in terms of showing, like, hey, these guys can actually play in the league, and they're actually desirable talent, and NFL teams actually are signing these guys before they're signing, you know, other special teamers or second team reserves from other squads. And I think once this whole thing kind of settles down, whether or not the XFL has a future, I think there's a future for a February league for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, all those guys that got signed have been in NFL camp.
Yeah. And I think they just needed some more reps, and they were able to get that with the XFL. Yeah.
And some guys have been in, like Nelson Spruce, he may not get another shot, but he's perfect for what the XFL is. He was their leading receiver before Trey McBride finally came on. So it's like, you look at, you know, Philip Walker coming out of Temple, people thought he was going to switch positions.
Bruh, Tyler Effort getting $15 million for 2 years? What has that guy done in about 4 years besides get hurt?
The Jaguars overpay everybody.
It's disgusting.
I'm pretty sure I have a check from the Jaguars laying around. I'm pretty sure I could, like, find, like, a They signed me to like a future reserve contract. Like, you probably have a check from the Jaguars you don't know about.
Do you think Funchess redeems his career with the Packers? I actually think that's a good spot for
him. He doesn't have a choice. Can't he? Too not good enough of a blocker to play tight end. He's pretty much
even
a
though that was always your recommendation for him.
There's really not much left for him to.
Anyways, so with that, are you still there? All right, I guess he's not. Hello, sir? 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 Yeah, Kenny, you staticked out right there, so hopefully you can call back. But yeah, man, so that's about it for free agency. There's a lot of stuff that went down. You can look more into it, but ultimately, those are just some of the big moves we kind of went over, some of the top line things. Free agency still going, so... Hello, caller.
Yeah, that was weird. The call dropped. I could hear you the whole time, but yeah, the call dropped out.
All right, man. So with that, wrapping up free agency, let's go ahead and move to take your tangent.
Cool.
All right, man. First up, Dallas Cowboys All-Pro center Travis Frederick retires at 29 years old due to an autoimmune disease. You got to take or a tangent on that, Kenny.
Good for him, because he actually brought a lot of assistance to his foundation that feeds kids that don't get to eat at school. So, I mean, it's a horrible, sad situation because his autoimmune disease pretty much like his nervous system attacks, like, it attacks his blood cells attack his nervous system. I don't know, it's bad. But like his nerves and all that, it just makes it really hard to even play football. He took a whole year off, and the fact that, you know, he still was able to play at damn near Pro Bowl level, it's sad that a career as great as his got cut short. Because like everyone off that Wisconsin team, that Rose Bowl Wisconsin roster, all got fat contracts. And he was, like, one of the best ones. And, honestly, I didn't think it was a good pick when it first happened, seeing, you know, like, they took a center in the first round. But he was on a Hall of Fame path, arguably, even with the taking a year off. So it's unfortunate that, you know, his career comes to an end. But he's doing a lot of great stuff in the community, feeding all those kids. So salute to Travis Frederick and his foundation.
Yeah, man, and also shout out to Drew Brees for donating $5 million to the coronavirus hunger relief out in Louisiana. It's also some good news. So, and then yeah. Somebody else did something too. Fuck, forgot who it was. Somebody else gave like $150,000. Oh, Chandler Jones, that's who it was. Chandler Jones gave a bunch of money to schools in Arizona and somewhere else that he played. Forgot where.
Syracuse. He played at Syracuse.
I don't know if it was New York, but it was somewhere. I'm pretty sure it was Arizona or somewhere else. Maybe New England.
He played in Arizona and New England.
Yeah, it might have been New England. But yeah, he gave a bunch of stuff. So shout out to him. Next up, Lamar Jackson is suing Amazon over unlicensed merchandise. Do you got to take your attention on that, Kenny?
Get your bag, young man. If Amazon's not going to break you off, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, man. I pretty much think the same thing. I mean, it's one thing for a dude to print out a shirt with your logo on it in front of a stadium, and it's another thing when you got a $1 billion enterprise that is already making a load of money and not paying his taxes, and is probably going to make more money as this whole thing unfolds, since they actually have the infrastructure to basically run a society. So yeah, man, they really don't need any discount on Lamar Jackson's merch. Like, if you can't pay that man his licensing fee, then it shouldn't be on there, period. And even if it's a vendor and Amazon isn't getting the bread, it still shouldn't be on their platform.
Exactly.
All right, man, and this one is submitted by you, but Pat Mahomes hasn't watched The Wire. Do you got to take or a tangent on that?
I mean, I'm not going to take his black card, but, boy, now I see why he eats ketchup on his mac and cheese. This man has not been he clearly grew up in a white household. He clearly, like, grew up watching Friends and shit. Like, I don't think he's been around enough black people in his life. And he got a black father. I'm just saying it. Like, bro, I would sneak and watch The Wire as a kid. I wasn't even allowed to watch that shit. I wasn't even allowed to watch HBO because all the crazy shit that was going on HBO in the 90s. Wasn't even allowed to. Still did it. The only time I could watch HBO was if the prize fight was on. That was it. My mom and sister's dad was like, nope, you ain't watching this shit. And then when they caught me watching The Wire, I got cussed out. And my mom would pop me. She was like, no. And I went back and watched The Wire. I'm like, how did you not watch The Wire, bro? Like, I get you was in clubhouses as a kid. Like, fam, are you that detached from black people? Like, black culture? You ain't seen The Wire? I don't know if he was trolling, but like the fact it worried me. It really worried me. Like, I'm worried for Pat Mahomes now. You won the Super Bowl, bro. You got time. Watch The Wire.
You got time, bro. We are quarantined.
Like you and your wife, like you and your girlfriend, Becky, whatever. I think her name literally is Becky. That's the funny part. Like, y'all sit down and watch The Wire together. Take notes. But, like, fam, come on. That's ridiculous.
All right.
Like, I'm pretty sure Travis Kelce has seen every episode of The Wire. And you tell me Pat Mahomes hasn't? Come on.
That's a whole other topic.
That's crazy.
All right, man, so let's move the touchdown and turnover real quick. All right, man, so the Eagles, after acquiring Darius Slay, are shopping Rasul Douglas. Is that a touchdown or a turnover for the Eagles?
For years, I never trusted West Virginia defensive backs, and now you understand why. Not since Pac-Man Jones, but I trusted a West Virginia defensive back. And now you understand why. That boy would get eaten up his whole career. And Amari Cooper, like, is going to pretty much, if he keeps playing against Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper's going to get the name right. He's going to earn the right to name Rasul Douglas's next kid or first kid. I don't know. Like, fam, it's painful. Like, and you know, because like, he's not agile. He's not fast enough or agile enough to cover him. He's like a system corner. But then when you see him still get beat deep, it's like, why you do that, Cooper? That was mean. But it was delicious, and I loved watching it. But, like, why you do that to him, Cooper? You didn't have to do that to him. Like, Amari Cooper is the reason why Rasul Douglas might not have a job in the league anymore. Like, he Fred Smoothed this man out of the league. Fred Smoothed it to himself. But, like, Rasul Douglas got Fred Smoothed just by playing against Amari Cooper. That's really what it comes down to.
Damn, so you pretty much just called Rasul Douglas Amari Cooper's son.
I mean, that's a nice way of putting it.
All right, man. So the LA Chargers dropped their new logo officially on social media. They did a whole video about it. And it's essentially it says the word Los Angeles and the A is like a little boat. So, is that a touchdown or a turnover, the Chargers' new logo brand?
Oh, my God. So, that logo that the Rams and the Chargers have, I feel like it was a joint thing. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's like a girl made you take a picture and you didn't really want to take it, but you have to just do it. Like, back in middle school and shit, you have to stand a certain way and smile. That's what that logo looks like. That logo looks like it beat the coronavirus, but it has, like, long-term scars forever.
But you're talking about the Rams logo. I'm talking about the Chargers logo.
I'm talking about both. You understand me?
But that's why I think it's a touchdown.
The Sonic the Hedgehog thing. Remember when Sonic the Hedgehog, the first, clips came out like, yo, y'all gotta refix Sonic. He looked like trash.
What Sonic That's was actually did. Pretty good, like, man.
It looked like these logos beat the coronavirus, but they got permanent scar tissue on their lungs now.
I think it's a touchdown because, one, I feel like nobody was really checking for the Chargers, right? First of all. Second of all.
No one's checking for the Chargers, bro.
Yeah, still nobody's checking for the Chargers.
No one's checking for them. I'd rather watch
XFL regardless.
They brought a bigger crowd.
Regardless, the Rams whole logo unveil was like, oh, this got leaked. And then it was like, oh, is that the logo? Is it not the logo? We don't know. And it was like this whole buildup only for it to be the logo. And it was like, wow, this is shitty. There are literally meme accounts making better logos than this. There are literally meme accounts hoping that this isn't your logo. And it is. And the Chargers.
The St. Louis Rams logo was better.
And the Chargers were silent about it, didn't say much, and just rolled out a logo. Like, and it made sense. It ties in their actual symbol into the city. Like, they reverted back to the color scheme that everybody wants and everybody likes, which the Rams also did somewhat, but they kind of changed it a little bit, versus the Chargers are embracing the baby blue. Everyone's favorite uniforms are theirs. So I'm giving it a touchdown only because the Rams were such a turnover that even the Chargers couldn't throw that one to the other team, which is saying something.
I'm just going to leave it at this. The Chargers have been so inept, and they have, like, seven of their best players are going to be free agents next year. Like, they have to not fuck up.
Yeah, they really can't. They really can't.
Like, they literally have to be perfect between now and, like, next offseason, or it's done. It's done. Like, people will be selling out XFL games in Los Angeles pretty soon, like, trying to swap their Charger jerseys for Wildcat jerseys. I'm telling you what I know because I covered the Wildcats, and it's, trust me, people don't want the Chargers. They're like the Clippers. It's like if the Clippers were forced on everybody, that's what they're doing. But imagine if the Clippers were never good. Like, they just weren't good. Like, they never got Kawhi. They never had Blake Griffin. They never had any hope. Nothing. It's just force this team on. It's like, oh, take your little sibling everywhere you go. And they're not even your sibling. They're like your step cousin. And they just won't go away. That's what the Chargers are.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Von Bell, former Saints safety, signs with the Bengals. 3 years, $18 million. Is that a touchdown or is that a turnover for the Bengals?
I mean, the Bengals are terrible, so what are you going to do? You got to get
pretty much.
Like, anything will help for the Bengals. They're just so pedestrian. Like the Chargers are bad, but at least they're not the Bengals.
Yeah, that's
true.
No
one's in the Bengals.
And finally, Todd Gurley signs with the Atlanta Falcons a day after getting cut from the Rams. Is that a touchdown or is that a turnover for Gurley?
That's a touchdown.
For the whole state of Georgia.
In particular for Julio Jones, because now they won't be able to double team him. Oh, wait, Todd Gurley's back there? Oh, yeah, he can go out and actually run routes like a receiver. So that means...
I think somebody said they literally have, like, 22 first-round picks, like, in their...
Yeah, Alex Mack.
Like, all their starters are first-round picks.
Their two guards. Yeah. The receivers, Ridley, Jones, Ryan, Gurley, Mack, whoever their left tackle is.
My thing is, though, between Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Todd Gurley, like, you could easily have a situation where, like, those dudes aren't playing all together, like, all the time, consistently. And the defense is still an enigma. So, and we'll see, man.
What's his name? The UCLA pass rusher. Free Tack McKinley. Let him come to Vegas.
Wow.
I don't know. I think they're running a 4-3 again. I don't know what they're doing.
Who knows what they're doing? I don't even think they know what
they're
doing.
Running a 3-4. I don't know what
bonus
the Falcons are doing.
The Denver Broncos gave Melvin Gordon 2 years and $8 million each, I think. Is that a touchdown or a turnover for Melvin Gordon?
Again, Jadeveon Clowney, I want you to pay attention to what happened to Melvin Gordon. It's the same thing about to happen to you, bruh. Sometimes you got to take the contract they give you.
Yeah. And
Gordon, think about it. Phillip Lindsay was a Pro Bowl back. They got Devontae Booker, who's pretty good. Like, he ain't giving starters minutes like that.
I just think it's funny because I think back to that situation where Josh Jacobs posted a picture of all the AFC running backs, and then for Denver, he just put a trash can. And it's like, really? Because Wisconsin backs have done so great in Denver. But, yeah, man, we'll see what happens.
Ouch.
I mean,
John Dane, ouch.
What was
Lonnie
it?
Lonnie Ball,
yep.
Ouch. You didn't
yep.
need for that.
Yep.
That was cool.
So,
that was dark.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't think running back, I don't think the running back position is particularly bad, but I don't think it's particularly good either. I think Melvin Gordon does help them, but like how much? You know what I'm saying? Like, and a lot of people like that team, and I could see why, but they still have a lot of holes, and that division is really strong. So, to be determined. With that, closing it out. You know what time it is. Unnecessary toughness rants. It's touchdowns with tangents. Real quick, though, I want to just play our little clip if I can get it. Hold on.
Do you love NFL football fun and booze? Join us at Thirst and Gold Podcast every Saturday night for weekly NFL coverage, whiskey, bourbon, scotch, and beer reviews. We mix expert football analysis with signature drinks, original segments, and lots of laughs.
Yes, that's right, football fans. Please join us at Thirst and Gold Podcast by heading over to thirstandgold.buzzsprout.com or search Thirst and Gold on the web. If you're tired of boring podcasts, come join our football party.
Yeah, man, shout out to the Thirst and Gold Podcast. We've been doing a promo swap with them the past few weeks. They've been really promoting us, so I wanted to play theirs this week. Last week was a weird show. I was supposed to play it, didn't play it. But yeah, man, shout out to them. They're also an LA-based podcast, and they drink and talk football. So listen to them.
I dig them. I dig them. They're dope. I can't wait until this quarantine's over so we can do some crosstalk.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, Kenny, so why don't you go ahead and go first and make this one a walk-off.
Cool. So as someone who is an essential worker, I work at a deli, a high-end deli. But I see people coming into stores, older people, coughing their asses off. Like, a lot of y'all need to just keep y'all grandparents at home because everybody's trying to get sick and die. I'm sorry. If you ask me if I got to pick them or me, they've had a nice life. Like, y'all really need to understand that the social distancing shit, like, yeah, it's martial law, a soft martial law going on out here, but you really need to fucking, like, stay in the house. And, like that shit... Was it Manhattan Beach or Huntington Beach where all them trash-ass kids are playing basketball? That shit had my spirit hot. Because, honestly, I would have hit that wide open corner three all day. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, they were trash. And they banned, like, parks and everything closed. Only that sucks, like, my sister has online classes, but they're closing the library, like, her school, because somebody got coronavirus. So, yeah, it's... And my biggest thing is just if you have to go to a grocery store to be there and get something, like get in and get out. They already keep, trust me, the stores are keeping quotas on how many people they let in at a time. Like some places are 25 people. If it's a smaller store, like 25 people other stores, like 50. They're really trying to keep the number down. You can even notice in how some of the lines are. Like, I went to Smart Fire Extra today, and they had, like, the line. It was, like, a totally different spot for all the registers. And literally, there was, like, a six-foot gap between me and the next person waiting in line. And thankfully, they're restocking everything, and toilet paper's coming back, which, by the way, fuck all y'all who decided to take out the toilet paper. I hope you flood your toilet and you get constipated, and then you're just stuck with toilet paper you can't use. Y'all suck and are stupid. By the way, all the soap is still there in the store, but all the toilet paper is gone, but nobody took the soap. Y'all nasty. another thing, if you're going to go shopping, just like, you know, get some essentials, canned goods. Don't necessarily rely on produce, because this thing may go another 2 months. And yeah, treat people who work in like grocery stores and all those other places with respect, because again, there's kind of a golden rule in life. It's one of the probably, it's like one of the unsung commandments. There's like 15 commandments. This is probably the 14th. Don't fuck with people who make your food. That's kind of like just a thing you don't do. Like, you don't piss off people who are handling your food. That's a very bad idea. So if you're going to go to these grocery stores, have respect for the people working there. Because trust me, they want to be home too. But sometimes they're not getting hazard pay. Shit's bad. And they're there. Hours are getting cut. They're not getting their hours back. Yeah, they're getting paid to be there, kind of. But it's also a shitty experience in some regards. So, like, have that presence of mind when you go into a store and don't, like, panic and freak the hell out and yell at people who are working there saying, why don't you guys have this? Because there's a pandemic and people panic buy, so we ain't got the shit. Just focus on that and realize it's not about you and the world doesn't revolve around your ass. And, you know, be nice to people. Don't be a dick right now. It's really not the time. Yeah, everybody who's licking toilets getting coronavirus, when you die, just know I'm going to laugh a little bit because you're stupid and you deserve it. Like, all y'all out there clout chasing, licking poles and shit. If the coronavirus gets you, just know I'm going to be happy because that's Darwinism and you're gross and you make me sick. And honestly, you not being here probably makes the world a better place because you're fucking nasty and you're trying to kill everybody with your nastiness. And karma's a bitch. I love y'all. Stay safe. Pete, stay safe. Yeah.
All right, man.
I'm out.
All right, man. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
Peace. I'm going to go back to eating honeycombs.
Peace. You better tune in for this one because it's going to be a good one.
fine. I'll stay on the line.
So, with that, I want to close out the show by doing a couple things. First of all, man, shout out to everybody who voted on the polls this week. TDs underscore tangents on IG. Going to start doing more of that stuff. But, yeah, so 50% of our audience pretty much said they were split between whether or not the new Rams logos was fire or doo-doo. You know those emojis. But, yeah, in addition to that, 95% of them said they think Cam Newton will bounce back. And also 75% of them said, no, Kenny, quarantine. No, I'm sorry. 75% of them are on your side and say, yes, Kenny, it's okay for you to let your hair grow out right now with the coronavirus. I know I'm not one to talk because not only is my hair on full burst mode, but I'm also doing quarantine, no shave, no vendor, and my unibrow right now is popping. I kind of look like Frida, so yeah. There we go. Shout out to AD, man. The brow. Speaking of basketball, a piece of LA history was made this week, and it needs to be acknowledged. Steve Ballmer, otherwise known as Balls by the Lakers front office. That's the nickname they gave him in an email exchange when rumors broke that he was going to try and pursue this new arena. And guess what? Ballmer is doing his manifestation destiny, getting that arena, buying the forum, throwing money at housing advocates. Because why? The $50 billion man is stopping at nothing to make sure the Clippers are cemented in the future of Los Angeles by building a new arena in what will be the new center of Los Angeles, aka Inglewood. Yes, I said it. We all know it. With the new stadium going there, with all the development and the gentrification going on there, the city is going to once again be centered around Inglewood, and the Clippers have not one, but two pieces of massive real estate to make sure that they have finally put together a great home for not only a winning basketball organization, which do I need to remind you, the Lakers have only beat the Clippers a handful of times in the past decade. Do I need to remind you that the Clippers only missed the playoffs two times last decade? Do I need to remind you that? Do I need to remind you that the Clippers have the finals MVP reigning Kawhi Leonard on top of Paul George, another local superstar? So yes, Ballmer is building a home for a winning organization and giving Clippers fans like me, like my boy Max, he's legitimizing us, because for so long we've been a laughingstock. For so long people have said we play at the Lakers building, even though it's really the Kings building. Even though the Lakers are second fiddle to the Kings, but people don't like to talk about that. Point is, while the Lakers and Kings are going to be fighting over days in 2024, the Lakers are going to be chilling in the South Bay, in their new arena, playing in prime time, doing what they need to do. And here's the reality. He's going to be doing that while also owning a relic of Lakers history, while owning the Forum, the place that six rings were won. The home of Showtime is now owned by the owner of the Clippers. This is so weird to even think about. Something that you never would have imagined a decade ago. But guess what? It's happening. Not only does Ballmer own a relic of Laker history, but he's finally creating one of Clipper history. And I am ecstatic, and it needs to be acknowledged. I know I was skeptical of them when they made the move for Blake Griffin, but since everything they've done is perfect, all the moves they made at the front office, all the moves they made in free agency at the trade deadline, and now this is just the latest example of Steve Ballmer's greatness and a reason why the Clippers will continue ascending and hopefully win that final first banner, because, well, Steve Ballmer's going to make it happen. He's got $50 billion on it, and he's going to make it happen. Whether it happens this year, next year, 5 years, the Clippers are going to be a winner, because that's what Steve Ballmer does. That's what he's always done. He wasn't afraid of iPads when he launched Surface. He wasn't afraid of PS2 when he launched Xbox. He wasn't afraid of taking on IBM or Apple with the PC. And now he's not afraid to turn those lovable losers, the counterculture that is the Clippers, into a legit NBA title contender and a piece of the Los Angeles community. Finally, Clippers are going to have a home. And to all you Laker fans out there hating, saying it doesn't matter, keep hating, because the reality of the situation is there's 4 million people in Los Angeles, and there's another 4 million people. I mean, and I think there's, 20 million people in greater SoCal and another 4 million people in the IE. Like, Steve Ballmer doesn't need to make Laker fans into Clipper fans for the Clippers to be a thing in LA. He doesn't need to do that. He's got his eyes on those 4 million people in the Inland Empire who are going to watch those Agua Caliente Clippers of Ontario. He's after those transplants, the gentrifiers there. Damn, I say it. Those people that are going to go to the NFL games at the new stadium, the casual basketball fans, the new basketball fans, the transplants, who are going to look and see that state-of-the-art Clipper arena that's not going to have purple seats, that's not going to have statues in front of the Lakers, and they're going to say, damn, what are the Clippers are about? Maybe I should check them out. on top of giving a hum to me, to all these people that the Clippers have been giving tickets and gear away for years, like, he's finally building a place for all of that to convene. Ballmer has his eyes on the future, on building a long-term fan base, and I'm so happy to see it, because I see what this guy's doing. He's going after the five-year-old that just watched Kawhi win a ring, and that's his favorite player. He's going after the dude who played on a high school team or a rec team on a Clippered refurbished rec center or youth center. He's going after the dudes who watched Blake and Chris Paul dominate for a decade. Like, he doesn't need to convert Lakers fans. There's already plenty of groundwork that's been done with the Clippers organization, and now Steve Ballmer's bringing that all together by giving them a home. So shout out to the Clippers, shout out to Steve Ballmer for making this happen. Yes, obviously I'm a Clipper fan, Stan, but so fucking what? Because guess what? There's about to be a lot more of us. So finally, after I got all that off my chest, I just want to shout out everybody out there. Like Kenny said, man, take precautions, be safe. Shout out to everybody staying at home who's actually doing their thing. I know it's kind of a scary time right now, and I know everybody's kind of looking for you know, something to happen. I know the stimulus package is coming and the bailout is coming, and like, obviously I know people are struggling. Some people aren't essential employees. Some people aren't like me who can work remotely. So some people are really hurting. Like, shout out to our boy Sean, who just got laid off. His publication ceased existence. There's a lot of, you know, weekly papers and free papers that are struggling because they rely on event business. There's a lot of, you know, part-time retail workers who aren't working. And, you know, for those people, it does make sense to give them some cash, but this whole idea that we're just going to bail out all these corporations and give them all this money, and I don't want to get too libertarian or too political on you, but just the very idea that we're going to do this when we don't even know, we don't even have a plan of when this is going to end or when this is going to stop. We don't know if it's going to be in a month or 18 months. So how can we just give the market this much money if we don't know how the consumer is going to react? It's like, rather than allow this coronavirus to be a natural resetter, to let it, you know, purge the old legacy way, the standard, the centralized, you know, the box retailers, like the banks, like all these old legacy companies that are struggling the most because they're the least flexible. Instead of letting them fall to the bottom and letting all these startups and all these technology companies and all these things that allow you to work remote and do what you do remote and stay connected with each other, regardless of if you're physically next to each other and you know, the anti-brick and mortar and the direct-to-consumer, rather than let all of that take over, we're still living in the past and we're still trying to preserve those old companies and that old American dream. Instead of, the reality is, like, this is going to change the fabric of our society. Like, at the very least, like, this is going to make people more comfortable living in isolation. This is going to make people more comfortable getting their food delivered. It's going to make people more comfortable having Zoom calls and Zoom conferences and not going to meetings. And it's going to make people feel more, even more connected when they're not connected physically. So we have to accept that and we have to let it run its course, because if we run too much interference and throw too much money at it trying to fix the problem without a real plan or solution, then, well, that's when we're really headed to the Armageddon and the anarchy that everybody's scared about. Woo! So with that, man, I'm sorry to preach at you on this Thursday night or whatever night you're listening to this podcast, but had to get that shit off my chest. I'm PD Camarillo, signing off. One half of Touchdowns and Tangents. My boy, my partner, my friend, Kenny Frank James Berry, called in earlier. He already signed off, so shout out to him. Shout out to the Thirst and Gold podcast for messing with us. Shout out to your favorite podcast app for hosting us. Shout out to The Good News Radio Station, shout out to Esquad Affiliates, shout out to FPC Radio. And yeah, man, have a good week. Love y'all. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.